Franchising is the most misunderstood and most overlooked form of entrepreneurship. We're here to educate you and help you find the entrepreneur within. Franchising is not all about the French fries. We find that individuals who are exploring business ownership tend to have a lot of misperceptions and misunderstandings about the franchise industry. So what we want to do is help prospective business owners make confident and educated decisions before moving forward or not moving forward with a business. Welcome to Unpredicted Entrepreneur.
Hi, welcome to episode 67 of Unpredicted Entrepreneur. I'm Roxanne Rapsky, and this is my colleague, Sarah Wasco. We created this podcast to bring you education and information about business ownership and all things franchising. Today, we have a guest that is a previous client, and we feel like future entrepreneurs or budding entrepreneurs want to hear stories from those that have gone before them. And so Will's here to share his story about how he went from corporate life into owning his own business. He's also representative of a trend we're seeing, which is folks younger and younger are wanting to start their own businesses. So Will Life Festy is with us today. He's the franchisee and owner of Bloom and Blind's Flower Mound Keller. Thank you for joining us today, Will.
Yeah, thank you, Roxanne. Glad to be here.
Yeah. So without further ado, let's just jump right in and kind of give us the, I know you started in corporate, you had had three jobs, got your MBA. So kind of walk us through that and what led you to thinking, I don't know if I want to do this forever and I want my own business.
Yeah. So I'm not much of a long-term planner generally, but I started out working at Wells Fargo, first job out of college, working in oil and gas lending. I did that for 4 years and, it was a great experience, but didn't particularly love the job. Always kind of had an eye on something else. But it was a great, you know, place to start. And then I went and, like you said, I went and got my MBA out in, at North Carolina, the University of North Carolina, for 2 years, spent 2 years out there kind of trying to figure out what it was I wanted to do. Explored a number of options and ultimately got back in oil and gas, out of banking, but a smaller company that was recently a startup. I joined about a year into it, and I liked that opportunity because it was getting out of the big corporate atmosphere and into a smaller kind of more entrepreneurial setting, which was great. But after a while, I kind of saw a ceiling on that role and wanted to explore other options for a number of reasons. And then spent a year after that at a kind of a mid-size company doing offshore oil and gas finance.
Okay, so this is like Goldilocks. We got a big company, we've got a startup, and now we're in the medium. But it was not just right, it sounds like.
Exactly. So even though I was staying in the same industry per se, I was kind of trying the startup, like you said, in a big company and the small and then medium-sized. Uh-huh. None of it was really doing it for me. All good experience and enjoyed working with the people I did. But I started getting that entrepreneurial itch and then that second job and started reading some books, talking to some people, listening to podcasts, which is how I found you guys initially. And then finally got, worked up the confidence to pull the trigger after I found this opportunity with Bloom and Blind. So it was kind of a complete career 180, but so far it's been great.
So interesting. I mean, your background was oil and gas, banking, you have an MBA, finance, and now you own Bloom and Blinds, which is window treatments, both residential and commercial, right?
Right.
So what on earth inspired you to buy a home improvement kind of decor related franchise based on what your background was before?
Nothing drove me to, like you said, the home decor kind of home improvement, sector, necessarily. I was looking for an opportunity, for a small business. Initially I wasn't even, thinking about franchise opportunities, and then a friend of mine kind of told me more about franchising and, the whole, business in a box, which is kind of an overgeneralized term, but something where the playbook's already established. It's a proven business model, and you've got a support system behind you is what really drove me to the franchise route, as opposed to, you know, taking a riskier step and going and starting an independent business, or you know, taking on a lot of debt to maybe buy an existing independent yeah. business, which right. is equally risky. So yeah, I liked kind of de-risking things from the franchise point of view. And I really only had a few kind of parameters that I was thinking about for a business, which was something that wasn't going to be a huge upfront investment, something that didn't take a lot of capital investment early on to grow the business, something that wasn't that required a ton of employees, at least initially, and something that I thought had the potential, but hadn't yet reached that potential. So there was a lot of, you know, growth ahead. And Roxanne introduced me to this. Well, okay, stepping back, I initially was thinking about just starting new territories for a franchise, right? Not taking over an existing business, which is what ended up happening.
But, so let's stop right there. When you say taking over existing business, you bought the Bloomin' Blinds territory from a previous owner, correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So Roxanne introduced me to this opportunity where the former owner of, so it was two territories, Bloomin' Blinds, Flower Mound, and Denton. And he was, you know, doing great, profitable. He had been doing it for about 5 or 6 years, but he wasn't fully bought into the recipe, and you know, his relationship with the franchisor wasn't the best. And talking to other franchisors and, you know, reading through their FDD, their franchise disclosure document, it was pretty apparent that, you know, there was a lot of meat left on the bone, for lack of a better phrase. But so, yeah, I really liked the opportunity that I could step into an existing business that already had a customer base and brand recognition, in a system, overall system for the franchise overall that was proven. And so that was just another aspect that I thought kind of de-risked things. Granted, it required, you know, a greater upfront investment, but I thought that the pros outweighed the cons there. And then shortly, basically immediately after acquiring those existing territories from the previous owner, I also added on two contiguous territories to kind of double in size, so that there was enough growth ahead. So you've got kind of like your initial existing territories to provide cash flow early on, and then also some room for growth in the future.
So being a finance guy, obviously, he knows right. numbers. But the thing about you, I remember early on, you reminded me a lot of another client of mine of the same name. I think you actually talked to him, right? Mm-hmm. You reminded me a lot of him. You early on knew you wanted to grow a big business. You wanted to start small, but you wanted to, territory's tough in Dallas, as mm-hmm. you know. So he wanted something that would give him enough room to grow, to build a big business. So you were an open book, really, and open to looking at a lot of different things. And one thing that I think you realize that a lot of people have trouble with is the business is just the widget. Mm-hmm. It's what he was looking for was a lifestyle and an income and the business that could provide that. So his focus was on the lifestyle and the income, which is where we focus with our clients. And yes, you want to do something that you believe in and that you're going to enjoy, but the thing that's the most important is, are you going to get what you want out of it? Right. Mm-hmm. So I think you were very open-minded, and when this resale came available, it just fit the bill and you were a lot more attracted to that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, definitely wasn't looking for a particular type of business. Didn't have any like passions that I was trying to follow or anything.
Your passion was what it would do for you. And that's what we talk yeah. with people a lot about, like try to think about the passion piece as what you want from the business instead of what the business actually does. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
for sure.
Let's talk about that. What, as far as what you're getting from the business, it's going to be a lot different than sitting in an office, obviously all day doing what you were doing before. So tell us a little bit about some of the things you like about the business and, maybe some of your struggles.
Yeah. What I like about the business, everyone needs blinds. So, you know, we sell blinds, shutters, shades. We do exterior patio screens as well. So yeah, every homeowner, even apartment, you know, renters, that you got to have blinds, right? You can't just, you got to have your privacy. And these blinds are going to, you know, they'll last you a while, but, you're going to have to recycle them every so often. You have a lot of people, especially in DFW, that are moving here from different cities or out of state. There's a lot of new home construction, especially out in the western parts of my territories, kind of north of Fort Worth. And so that just means that you're going to have a certain kind of base level of demand. And then you pair that with the fact that Bloomin' Blinds has been, they actually started here in DFW back around 2000 as an independently, as independent family owned business. Three brothers and their mother who actually started it, and the three brothers took over. Yeah, you had a lot of brand recognition. You had all the referrals built up over all those years. I've got the franchisor support team right here in Dallas, North Dallas. Yeah, so I really like that kind of that safety net, or at least that base level of confidence and proven business model to start me out.
So, obviously, hands-on, what's your role as the owner? What do you do? Are you the one in the vehicle doing the work? Are you hiring? Tell us a little bit more about that piece of it.
Yeah, right now I'm doing a little bit of everything.
Okay. Wearing lots of hats.
Yeah, for sure. So it's still early on. I started operating back in May of 2023, so it's been a little less than a year now. So yeah, I kind of do whatever's necessary so far in it. And I think it's been good because, I need to learn all aspects of the business so that eventually I can, start to build out a bigger team, train people and start to delegate and trust my employees. But, I've got to have that, you know, all encompassing knowledge of all aspects of the business and how everything works. I didn't have any technical skills coming in. You know, I was always sitting behind a computer in Microsoft Excel all day, which I got, pretty tired of, but, so it's been, you know, the learning curve was steep initially, but it's been a great opportunity for me to kind of, you know, learn how to, because we do repairs as well. So we do sales, we do repairs, we do installations, which kind of sets us apart from other blind companies that we do repairs as well. So yeah, I'm in the van every day driving around all over the territory and doing everything, doing repairs, sales, installs, getting my hands dirty. I've got one full-time technician, on the team currently, and, he's been great. And, yeah, just trying to, get him up to speed as much as I can so that he can, kind of be self-sufficient eventually. And, I think the biggest thing will be learning to delegate and trust and kind of empower him that, he can make, you know, decisions on his own and, based on what he's learned from me. And, honestly, I learned a lot from him too, because he's got all the technical skills already. I do a little bit of everything, but the goal is to step back, you know, a little bit over time to where eventually more just a managerial role. And one day would love to have a full team of, you know, installers, salespeople, and a general manager if things work out over time.
And Bloomin' Blind vans running all over your territory.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Multiple vans. Yep. Yeah. So baby steps.
Share with us some of your aha moments. I know there's been some for you in this growth process.
Yeah. For me, it's kind of, there's a fairly large, you know, kind of cultural difference between working at a desk job in a corporate environment to more of a hands-on technical, and maybe kind of home improvement, home decor type of business. And so maybe some of my expectations coming in based on, I'll take a step back. The first employee I hired on was, great initially, and I learned a lot from him. He had a lot of great technical skills as well, but, things didn't end up working out after a few months. So we moved on and hired the second employee, and he's been great. Like I mentioned,
was the first employee the employee of the previous owner?
No. No.
Okay.
The previous owner was a single owner operator.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Doing everything by himself.
Okay.
And so for me, I kind of, big aha moment has been learning to be adaptable with different working styles and, you know, how to motivate people. And maybe not to have the same type of expectations that I had in previous roles, because things are just different. There's different ways to motivate people, different working styles, just different ways of kind of conducting yourself, carrying yourself in different types of jobs, right? You know, a lot of entrepreneurship as a whole is just kind of learning through failure, right? And I kind of underestimated that going in, the first few months or even longer, you know, there's ups and downs, right? And I would get down to myself when I would fail at things, or a customer wasn't happy, or, you know, we messed up in some way, or even if we didn't mess up, but the customer was unhappy anyways. And it's just kind of learning to not see that as a roadblock, but see it as an opportunity. And over time, pretty quickly, I learned that all these mistakes were just helping me learn and you know, learning the hard way, but really maybe the only way to learn and to get better and not make those same mistakes again. And then you start kind of compounding on those improvements as you fail. Then you start to get more comfortable with failure and you don't let it hinder you so much. You start to realize, okay, I haven't made that same mistake in a while, or you learn how to avoid those mistakes. That's a great feeling. And you start to, you know, kind of hit your stride.
Well, you even said that it gave you confidence, like learning from those mistakes has given you confidence.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure. I really like how you said it's not, I mean, it feels like failure. Nobody wants to mess up. You're trying to grow your business, mm-hmm. and you want to be successful and you want your clients to be happy, but recognizing that it's just an opportunity, you can learn from that. And I think most people recognize that people are going to make mistakes, and it really is more about how do you handle those mistakes? How do you overcome those? What do you do to resolve them with the customer and things mm-hmm. like that? And I believe most customers, as long as you handle it well with strong customer service, can overlook an initial mistake.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Like you said, you have to learn. But I'm curious, when you went from Excel spreadsheets and an MBA to Bloom and Blinds and installing window treatments, what did your friends and family, think you were nuts?
I'm sure a lot of them did.
Maybe they just didn't tell you.
Yeah. Or maybe they did.
But he's not going to say.
He's not going to say. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And maybe I thought I was crazy myself a few times.
I think we all go through that. Yeah. Like, what, yeah,
what
do?
Have I done?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine a lot of entrepreneurs, probably more so than not, you know, it's kind of taking that leap of faith and you're never really 100% sure if it's the right move or not. But I'm very glad I did make the move. It's nerve wracking at times. And like
of course
I said,
it
ups
is.
And downs.
It is.
But Yeah, it's been good.
Well, two things I want to point out is that your wife was supportive. That's very important to have a supportive spouse at home. But the other thing that was interesting, and I hope you're watching this, Bill, because I'm going to give you a shout out. Your dad went through this process with you, really for support, and he's in commercial commercial real estate. That's right. He was not a big fan of franchising, but he just doesn't, you know, his own words, doesn't really understand the model. But he was there to support you. He was open-minded. And I was just really impressed by the support that Will had, even from somebody that was like, I don't really know about this whole franchise thing, but mm-hmm. if this is what my son wants to do, you know, it was really just, he's also, being in commercial real estate, knows numbers. So he was another set of eyes and ears as far as numbers go. But I think that family support is so important, and being able to separate, for your dad to be able to separate, not necessarily being thrilled about franchising, but being supportive of you and what you wanted to do, that really, really says a lot. So kudos to your dad for that. So,
yeah. Yeah, very fortunate to have him be a part of the initial process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he still helps out some even today. Very, very fortunate to have his support. And yeah, it did take a lot of convincing.
Well, okay. So on that subject, I think a lot of people don't understand franchising. They haven't researched it on their own. They don't have facts or data. All they know is what they've seen from other people. So I wanted to just point out what Roxanne said was that your dad learned with you and went through the process with you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there are scenarios, a lot of times they'll say, well, you know, dad just wants me to get the information and then bring it to him. And that's fine. But I really feel there's a lot of value in the parent or whoever the support system is being on the calls, because we all learn differently. Mm-hmm. I feel that, you know, it's, we always encourage spouses to be on calls whenever they can, because I believe there's times that depending on what type of learner you are, you could pick up on something that maybe your spouse or your dad didn't pick up on, and they might pick up on something else. So I just feel there's a lot of value in your support system being involved in the due diligence with you.
Yeah, for sure. And I think anyone that's kind of set on entrepreneurship, they might, you know, you get, excuse me, you get excited initially, right? And you've got all this passion and energy, and you might start to kind of hear what you want to hear, right? And
yes.
So you need some sounding boards, some other people to kind of set you straight sometimes. And I tried to look at things, you know, as much as possible through an objective lens, but yeah, so my dad was great. My wife's been very supportive, which has been awesome. I can't take that for granted.
It's
she's
huge.
She's been in school for a nurse practitioner degree. So, you know, she's not working full time, and, you know, leaving the corporate, you know, paycheck. So that was, you know, something that, you gotta think through and make sure you're doing it right. And, can't say enough about her support as well.
Yeah. Well, and to further kind of make the point that you were making about how we hear things differently, or we pick up different things and then you can download together. But I think the other issue with whoever the support system is not being present and being on those calls is you're the person that wants this. And I think there's an element of you now becoming the salesperson and trying to sell them on whatever it is you want to do. And at the end of the day, they know that, especially a spouse, right? So it's really important for him or her to be listening in on those calls and getting their questions answered from the source and not from you, the salesperson.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so there's a lot to that. But well, is there anything that you feel you would have done differently?
There's not a whole lot of things I would have done differently. I probably, looking back, I guess to get into more specifics, kind of from like a budgeting / modeling perspective, when you're looking at what do I think this business is worth, or how much do I think I can make over time. I think expenses have been higher than I expected. And you know, you always kind of sensitize your projections in it to make it, you know, work in any kind of downside scenario as well. But maybe a little bit of, I don't know if overconfidence is the right word, but so far, you know, I'm still very much in startup mode and growth mode.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of expenses that come along with that learning curve. Once I get more stabilized, I think those expenses will kind of smooth out over time. But that's something I would have done differently, is kind of bake in some more cushion there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is getting past your fixed expenses early on. And you don't really see a lot of profit until you get past those fixed expenses. And even, you know, profit on an income statement is not exactly cash you get to take home.
Right.
So kind of being more aware of that initially would have been something that I could have done differently. But that's not been massive issue. I think any business owner is going to worry about that some.
Yeah.
And I'd be lying if I said I wasn't, but definitely see a clear path towards kind of more sustained profitability once I get past those fixed expenses over time. And some of that's already started, which has been great. So that, and I probably would have done more research, learning, or, you know, kind of asking other people in the industry about how to manage employees, what to expect from employees. I can be a people pleaser. And so I need to kind of shake that tendency to, you know, sometimes be a little more assertive in the way that I want the business to run. Especially in a business like this, where I've only got one employee so far, that, you know, I rely on him so much for installs and repairs, and I, you know, it's a balance between you want to keep them happy, keep them on, you don't want to lose them, because then, you know, you're back to square one. You got to go find another hire. And in the meantime, it's just yourself. So it's that balance between keeping them happy, but also, you know, being assertive in the way you want things to run. And so that's an ongoing learning process, but I think I have improved, but a lot more improvement to be made.
Well, I think anybody has to learn that when they're managing people for the first time. Even I think if you're employed somewhere, but you're a manager and you have people working for you, you still have to learn some of those things. And I'm sure that can be challenging. So if anyone is listening to this podcast and maybe thinking about owning a business, do you have a tip that you might want to offer for any prospective entrepreneurs or prospective business owners?
Yeah, I would say, you know, if you're still in the early stages, I think it's a great route to go down. Just make sure you know what you're getting into. Don't fall in love with something early on, some business or industry or whatever it is. Really make sure you take the time to talk to, if you're looking at a franchise route, talk to other franchisees in the system, talk to a lot of them. You know, ask the tough questions about, you know, worst case scenarios, things like that. But also, you know, make that balance to where you're asking about, you know, the positive aspects of the business as well. Yeah, don't fall in love with something early on. And make sure that if you're getting, you know, if you don't have a lot of savings, make sure you're getting into something that's not, you know, a recently new brand or something that doesn't have a lot of history, to where you can kind of see the proven results from other people in the system, or a proven playbook. Make sure you really think about your customer base, your potential, you know, customer base, and how that might be evolving, because things don't just change, or things don't just stay the same in any industry. And yeah, just keep an open mind. Don't fall in love with a certain type of business or industry, and do your homework.
Absolutely. Awesome. Do your homework.
Yeah.
Well, if someone wanted to get a hold of you, if they needed your services, how would they reach you?
Yeah. So several ways to do that. You can find us online, bloomblinds.com/flowermound-denton. We're actually in the process of changing our name to Flower Mound Keller for search engine optimization reasons and lead generation reasons. If you just, you know, Google search Bloomin' Blinds Flower Mound, you'll find us easy. And then on Instagram and Facebook as well, Bloomin' Blinds Flower Mound Keller. We've got great Instagram and Facebook pages, but working on improving on those as well. But you can also reach us at 214-972-0059.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, we appreciate you joining us so much. We know you're busy and you took time out of your day to share your experiences. And so we are very grateful for that. We thank you for joining us today. Again, I am Sarah Wasco, S-A-R-A, joined by my colleague Roxanne Rapsky. So please look us up on LinkedIn, connect with us. We're very active there. We also invite you to follow our YouTube channel at Franette of Dallas, Fort Worth, and Oklahoma. Please subscribe there and subscribe to Unpredicted Entrepreneur wherever you get your podcast. So thanks for listening today, and I hope you have a great day.
Bye.